meditation and experience is Genesis 1, 3, and 4. The Bible says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. Somebody say it was good. And God divided the light from darkness. That will be your experience this season. Every darkness will be taken away from your life by the light of God. And we've been praying. There's been a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit every Friday this February. And we have seen God move mightily. We're seeing people move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're seeing prayers answered. It's just been phenomenal. I want to encourage every one of us, please, we are not some kind of a social club. We are an apostolic church. We do everything we see in the Bible, and we want everyone to be a disciple. Be discipled in the faith, grow. It's your life, it's your faith. Take your life very serious this year. We'll be seeing great manifestations. People are being stirred up, gifts. God is pouring out His Spirit. We've been praying every Friday. And two Fridays ago, there was a word that came, about people just opening up themselves. And, if you are not opened, you're not really ready to receive. And being open also involves you praying, sharing your burdens, your challenges. So a word came specifically to share what some people were going through. And someone came to me and shared some things with me, apart from the people who were sharing things. So something happened. So I want the person to just come. I told him, please just share your testimony, because the testimony really began from the place of being open. When you're open, you're ready to receive. And when you receive, please give, like we learned last Sunday. Come to the Lord's table to receive. Come to the Lord's table to also give. Freely you receive, freely give. A river flows because it keeps receiving and keeps giving. Please let's welcome Dr. Reverend Apostle Tayo Wyers. Let him share his story. I was wondering who I was called. Do we have a spare mic? Please just get him a spare mic. Get him a spare mic. And please be ready to receive the word of God today. But I just want this to be like an appetizer. Okay? All right. Please tell us what happened. The power praise of the Lord praise. Church. Yeah.
Yeah. I came from work on the day Pastor was saying. So instead of going home straight, I'm like, okay, let me come to church. So the word came out that people that are having issues should just come out and check with Pastor. So that faithful day, I just said, I moved houses December 4th. So since then, I misplaced both my BRP card and my passport.
What's a BRP card?
Yeah, that's the
permit. Is it a voter's card?
Yeah, that's the permit actually to be a student in UK. Biometric card.
So that's what gives you like a permit to be here and to work.
So actually, okay? From 4th till throughout December, I was looking for it. I couldn't find it. So I go online, like, okay, let me order a replacement card. So I noticed they were charging £600 to get a new one. I'm like, God, that's too much. I can't afford it. That's just one of the documents. The passport itself can be less than £200 to get a new one. So that's £800. I've been praying about it, and I just, like, forget it. So on that fateful day, I told Pastor, so he was like, we should pray about it. And I went back home, and I still couldn't find it. So on Thursday, Bible study, he called me and said, I haven't found it. So he said something like that there. Because that day we learned about praying in agreement. So that faithful day, we just had Pastor, I and my wife, we had ends, and we prayed.
Who's your wife? In case you don't know, he's married. Please, let's give her a Wonderful. That's his wife. She just joined him. So he's a married man, okay? He's a married man.
So
no entry.
Like God, as if it was a magic. I still can't explain. On Friday morning, I went out. So she was like, around 12, that the Spirit said she should just look at a box I've checked twice already without saying it. So she opened the bag and lo and behold, my passport and my permit were just inside. I was overwhelmed. I couldn't believe it. So I learned a lesson that day that was everything we pray in agreement that God answered. So that Friday night, my wife had been feeling a pain in her tummy because we went out on Wednesday to go eat out. So on Thursday night, she said she's feeling a pain in her stomach. So like, all right, Friday night when I go back home, we'd head hand again. And we'll say that in agreement, we pray that God, before Saturday night, we want this pain to have disappeared. And lo and behold, like, it worked like magic again. So last night, I told her to shake her tummy, and she told me that she was perfectly okay. I just want to appreciate God at least for that lesson learned.
See him and agree about that. Glory be to God. The Bible says, please let's give God the glory. Give God the glory. See, the word of God simply says, if two shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of my Father which is in heaven. I don't know what your need is today. Can we bow our heads? Look for somebody to agree with. And Lord, this is not just a cliche, right? Just agree with someone that God will speak to you what you need. God will answer your questions. God will speak directly to your heart today. There will be a miracle. There will be healing. There will be. God will move.
To 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. As many of us are aware, we've been looking at the theme for the month of February. God has set a table before us. We're going to continue in line with that. 2 Samuel chapter 9, from verse 1 till the end. We'll read through briefly, quickly. Now David said, is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Verse 2. And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, are you Ziba? He said, at your service. We're reading till the end. Next verse, please. Then the king said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet. So the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, indeed, he is in the house of Misha, the son of Amiad, in Lodebar. Then King David sent and brought him of the house of Misha, the son of Amiad, from Lodebar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, here is your servant. So David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. Then he bowed himself and said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I? And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given to you, your master's son, all that belonged to Saul and to all his house. You therefore and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest, that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, according to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so will your servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Misha, and all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table. And he was lame in both his feet. Praise the Lord. Many of us are familiar with this story. As we've just read, Mephibosheth was Saul's grandson. So he was of a royal priesthood, you can say. I mean, of a kingly line. And we've been looking at this scripture several times from different perspectives. Today, I want us to look at the perspective, or if you want a title, you can say show up. The title for today's message is Show Up to the Table. From the verses we've read, King David said to himself, is there someone left from Saul's lineage that I want to show favor to because of Jonathan, my friend's sake? And then someone said, yes, there is this Mephibosheth. He's the son of Jonathan, the grandson of King David. And David said, go and get him for me. Now we don't know, but it's not stated in the Bible, when they went to fetch Mephibosheth, they probably did not tell him why the king had sent for him. But we can assume that he was afraid, because from the verses we've just read, when he met King David, King David said to him, do not be afraid. Many times in our lives, God calls us, but he doesn't tell us why he's calling us. But at times, we don't even bother showing up because we're afraid, because we do not know. Today, God is telling us, God is encouraging us to show up to the table. God gives you an idea, but he doesn't give you the details. But you're afraid, so you don't act on the idea. God tells you to let go of a certain habit, but you don't know what's on the other side of your obedience. You don't do it because you're afraid. Mephibosheth perhaps did not even know the kind of relationship David and Jonathan had, because he was still a child when his father died. At times God tells us what's on the other side of our obedience, but most times he doesn't. And Mephibosheth must have thought, but I'm lame. In fact, he said, who am I, a dead dog? But he went anyways, because it was the king that had summoned him. He still went, even though I can imagine he was afraid. He went. What he did not know was that God already had made provision for him. He was lame. He couldn't till the land for himself. But God had already made provision for him. For King David said, oh, Ziba, you're going to till the ground. You're going to feed the family of Mephibosheth. And he and all his family will be delivered from being in bondage. Because of Mephibosheth's courage, even in the midst of fear, he was able to leave Lodabar. And his family was taken out of that condition forever. Most times when God is asking us to show up, it's beyond us. It's for generations. When God is asking you to let go of that habit, it's beyond you. It's for generations. When the Spirit of God is inspiring your heart to work on that idea, it's beyond you. It's for generations. But most times we do not see, we can't see the end because God doesn't think, God thinks generationally. God thinks generationally. One man or one woman gives their life to Christ and their whole lineage is blessed because one person said yes to Jesus. Probably circumstances or situations has led to where you are now. You didn't have a choice over it, but you have a choice to make to show up to the king's table. For there is provision on the king's table. And it's interesting because it was not until Mephibosheth showed up that King David was now able to tell him all the things he was going to do for him and for his family. What if he didn't show up because he was afraid? How many things have we missed out on because we're afraid to show up? God puts in your mind to go somewhere, but you're afraid. You keep thinking, how will this thing be? How am I going to sort all of these out? Courage is going even in the midst of your fear. Courage is showing up even in the midst of your fear. You might not have all the details, but show up. Show up. Show up to the table. Instead of debt and living perpetual fear and poverty, Mephibosheth got everlasting freedom for him and his remaining descendants because of the choice of one man. And if we want to backdate, we can even go back to David and Jonathan. You see, that's the beauty about when God leads something. You can see how God thinks generationally. Jonathan and David were friends. Jonathan recognized that there was a grace of God upon David, even though it was his rightful place to be king. But he recognized that grace, and he was friends with David. And here he was, long dead. But because of that connection, his son and his sons after him were all being blessed. Whatever decision you're making today, it's beyond you. It's beyond you. At times when you're going through challenges or you find yourself at a crossroad and you need to make a decision, ask yourself, this is beyond me. I am not making this decision for myself. There are people coming after me. Today, you can decide what your lineage is going to be like. Because our God is a God who thinks generationally. If you look through the Bible, you will see it. There are certain people that, haven't you seen examples of people that, in your eyes, probably they are just very lazy. They can't, they are not even as hardworking as you are. But they just need to be born into a certain family. Things just seem to work for them. They don't pray as hard as you pray. Things just seem to work for them. You can't try some of the things they try, but things just seem to work for them. Things just seem to work for them. And at times, we need to take difficult decisions. It might be as simple as letting go of a certain habit. It might look very simple. Very, very simple. But you don't know the ripple effect that obedience is going to have. The ripple effect that obedience is going to have. We're going to look at another story in Luke chapter 1. A very familiar story again. Luke chapter 1 from verse 26 to 36. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. See again, she is afraid. And consider what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid. The same thing when Ziba went to David. David said to him, do not be afraid. You can see that these people, despite their fear, they showed up. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Sounds similar to what David was saying to Ziba. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. You can see that it was after these people showed up, then the king or the angel began to tell them what was in their heart. They had to first of all show up. And behold, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, she was still concerned, how can this be, since I do not know a man? A very legitimate question. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was barren, who was called barren. 37, please. Who was called barren, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Interestingly, we know the story about, the story is being told a lot during Christmas time. Mary, the angel appearing to her, her saying, be it unto me according to your word. Now, something interesting, the verses we just read. After she said yes, then the angel said, behold, Elizabeth, your cousin, is pregnant. She wasn't told that information at the beginning. God calls you, God gives you an idea, and you're wondering, like Mary, how shall these things be? How am I going to be able to accomplish this? Have you ever wondered why the angel told her about Elizabeth? Mary needed her network. She needed her circle of network. People who were going through similar things. People who could believe God with her. People who would encourage her. Until you say yes to God, you might not find that network. The Bible said she lived with Elizabeth for about 6 months. They had both experienced extraordinary things so they could encourage one another. They could encourage each other. And they could prophesy. If you read on, you see that they said prophesying to themselves. They could prophesy to one another because God had done an unimaginable thing in their lives. Until you say yes, you might not get the next information. You might think you are alone, you're an island. But when you say yes to God, God opens your eyes and you're wondering, oh my goodness, there are people all around me. You start seeing opportunities here and there. You start hearing solutions. You start finding understanding. Mary needed that network to be in because she was a virgin, a pregnant virgin. Imagine if it was in our time now. She was a pregnant virgin. At times when God gives us an idea, or when God calls us to himself, he puts us in a network. He puts us in a circle so that that idea can mature, so that we can grow, so that we can enlarge. But if we do not say yes, we might not even know. One obedience to God, obedience in a certain instruction, leads to the next. Someone once said, oh, God doesn't speak to me. God, I can't hear God. And the person said, if you think you can't hear God, go back to the last instruction God gave you. Obey the last instruction he gave you, and he will lead you to the next. Obey the last instruction, and he will lead you to the next. I don't know what showing up might look like for you today. There might be legitimate excuses. But I want to invite you to say yes to God, to show up to the table. Because when God's invitation comes to you, it's beautiful. It's beyond what you can ever think or imagine. When God's invitation comes to you, most times it's beyond you. It's for your generations. It's for generations. When we obey God, our eyes are open to see the help around us. When we obey God, our eyes are open to see the network around us, the network of people, the network of support, the networks of believers, the network of whatever it is we might need to fulfill that thing God has laid in our hearts. Mary stayed with Elizabeth to see this miracle of God unfold before her eyes. You can imagine the effect it had on her, staying with Elizabeth and seeing the miracle of God unfold before her eyes and realizing that this same miracle she was carrying in her womb was precious, because if God could do it for her cousin Elizabeth, then God certainly would be faithful to do it for her. If God could do it for Elizabeth, certainly God would be faithful to do it for her. I pray that our eyes will be open to see the network of support that God has placed around us. Because that thing God is asking you to do, it might be that no one has done it before, but trust me, there's someone somewhere who probably has gone through a similar experience and can encourage you to let you know that this is possible. But if you do not key into what God is saying, you might not see it and might just be next to you. So in a nutshell, showing up to the table means for everyone it to be different. But showing up is saying yes to Jesus, taking that step despite your fear. Making that phone call despite your fear. Having that conversation with that person despite your fear. Forgiving that person despite your hurt. Letting go of that habit despite the fact that you keep falling over and over again, or you feel helpless. You might feel helpless like Mephibosheth. You might feel helpless. I'm laying on both feet. How am I even going to get out of here? But what you do not know is that by saying yes to Jesus, Jesus has provided your zebras that will help you till the ground, that will provide that support for you. When you say yes to the Lord, your eyes are suddenly open and you're able to see what God is doing in you. Let's rise. We're going to just pray. I don't know what God has said to you shortly with these words, but I want you to begin to think over these words. What area in your life do you think God has been calling you to? What aspect of your life do you think God is asking you to show up? You might feel helpless right now, but there is connection for you. God has provided the support you need. We're going to sing that song that we sang earlier. And just talk to God. Just talk to God.
All the Lord is waiting to hear. That is all the Lord is waiting to hear. Waiting to hear from you. I say yes.